So we've got this story, and I'm going to start by just unpacking a bit of the this story, and then I'm going to use my mother and her circumstances to talk about the sort of application of it. So we've got this story of this unmerciful servant. So what is that all about? Well, it begins with this king who's got this servant who's wanting got this big debt. And what that is all about is really talking about right back, and with all the Bible, we need to go right back to the beginning and look at God's purposes to understand this question of forgiveness. And there we find God created us in all of the creation, but he created us to have a relationship with him, a personal, intimate relationship with our Creator God. That's why we're created. That is the meaning of life, the purpose of life, to have a relationship with our Creator. But we also see in the beginning that he said there are boundaries to this, and to keep you our relationship, don't break these laws, or otherwise you'll break the relationship. But they did, and that's what the Bible calls sin. And so sin came into the world and broke the relationship between God and us. And so something had to be done about it. And this first bit is all about how that happened. In other words, how God did that. And what we're talking about here is the cross of Christ. That broken relationship between humanity, mankind, and God was re-established by the cross. In other words, if you look at the story, he asks, begs that he pays it back. But he realizes, the master realizes, he can never pay this debt. It's not payable. So what he does is he wipes this debt clean. Now, you must realize that he doesn't simply say the debt doesn't just disappear. The master must take that debt. So let's say he lent him £1 million. That £1 million is now a loss to the master. And that's true for us too. Christ took our sins, because of that broken relationship, on the cross. He took it on the cross and wiped that slate clean. The price still had to be paid, and he paid it on the cross for us. So we may re-establish that relationship, which was broken by sin. He took that sin and forgave us. So that's what the first part of the story is about. It's about us and God and how he re-established that relationship with us by wiping our debt clean on the cross. Then the second part of the story is that same servant then has other servants who owe him money, but when they come and say, you need to wipe this, can you have mercy on this debt that I've got? He says, unlike the king who does it to him, wipes his slate clean, he says, no, in the jail you go. I am not going to forgive you. And there's this stark bit which comes at the end of it. This is how your heavenly father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. From your heart means true repentance. What will happen? Well, he gets thrown in jail. In other words, it's what the Bible would call hell. You're separated from God forever. So this message is a stark message. We read it as well. In the little passage where you have the Lord's Prayer in the Bible, this is what it says, the next words after the Lord's Prayer in the Bible in Matthew. For if you forgive people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive their sins, the Father will not forgive you your sins. So this concept of forgiveness is a huge one. And it matters to our very salvation. It's not something we can toy with. It's something that we must do. And of course, none of us would disagree with that, with the little sins in our life. Although many a marriage is destroyed by a lot of little unforgiven sins. But most of us wouldn't disagree with it. But what about the big sins? What about the horrendous things? That's what the Forgiveness Project is all about. How does that work? Can you forgive people? Well, if I can invite my mother up, and I'm just... Hanneke is her name. My mother is Dutch. She is from Holland, and but actually she was a colonial Dutch in the Dutch, what was then the Dutch East Indies, and now is called Indonesia. And the colonial there from the 18th century, she was there. Well, not her personally, but the Dutch were there. And she was a colonial, and we know, and very much the dominant race in looking after there. So all that baggage goes in there as well. But then when the Second World War came in and the Japanese joined the Second World War after Pearl Harbor, and they invaded that part of Asia and invaded Indonesia. And as the white colonials, they were all initially put in camps, for, as the Japanese said, for their protection. But very quickly, they built barriers around them, and they became interned. And after a while, they became concentration camps. My mother was in several camps, and the final camp was a very notorious one by a very dubious man who was later, immediately after the war, was executed for his war crimes and what he did to those interns, of which my mother was a child there with her sister, and her pregnant mother were in the camp at the same time. And some of you, I haven't want to repeat that because many of you have heard that story in the last couple of days. But what I want to talk to my mother about is ask her some questions about how this works in practice. So if you want to come here, I'm going to come over here and ask you these questions. So my first question is, so you have gone through a long journey of forgiving the Japanese, and we'll come back to that. But I first want to ask you a question. Is it easy and natural to forgive?
No. No, no. Forgiveness is a very hard thing to do. And I always refer to forgiveness as a journey, a pilgrimage, if you like. As Christians, we can call that a pilgrimage. So gently, gently, we go towards the final end, which is the forgiveness.
I mean, your situation was quite an extreme one. And what I didn't mention as well is you had a whole... the journey wasn't over after, was it? Because you then went into foster homes, which were not loving environments either. So there was forgiveness there too. And so it's been a whole long journey of big and little things. So this really is quite one, I think, when I hear people, if I asked you the question, who benefits when you forgive? So in your case, do you think the Japanese benefited, or you benefited from forgiving the Japanese for what they did?
To me, as a Christian, forgiveness is a heart thing. It comes from my heart. We heard this morning that the Holy Spirit works in our heart. So this is my connection to the Holy Spirit, if you like. And if you look at some of those stories there, the interesting thing is that when we forgive, quite often the people who have been forgiven then suddenly wake up to the fact that there is more to forgiveness than my relationship with God. They are often so affected that their life changes also. And I have found myself, when I go around to universities, schools, churches, whatever, talking about forgiveness, all of us understand what it means to be truly hurt. And so when I then say that forgiveness is something that doesn't just affect me, if I may, I would just want to give one example. My older sister, Nicolette, who was in the concentration camps with me, she lives in a beautiful house. Her house is full of antiques and beautiful paintings. But she has this bitterness about her. She does not understand where I'm coming from. She is so bitter, and as the years have worn on, she's become more and more bitter. And I think When Jesus says we have to forgive 77 times, I think it's a lot more than that, because I think we need to begin with very small things to forgive. And if we begin at the beginning and say forgiveness, we forgive you right at the beginning, it doesn't grow in the way that happens to so many people, particularly if it's a vile thing that has happened to it. Have a look at those things and you will see that the consequences of forgiving don't just stay with me.
What about the opposite? What happens, you've touched on it a little, if you don't forgive then?
Well, I have my sister, I have my brother. I've written a book about those camp times and the way I have learned to forgive. And I sent my brother a book. He lives in New Zealand. He said he didn't receive it. I know he did. He didn't want to talk about it because it was tracked with the post. And then many months later, he said he had bought it and he had read it. Well done, good for you, but I don't agree with you at all. You cannot possibly forgive the trauma we went through that the Japanese conflicted on us. And so my sister is very much the same.
But what about the justice? Because what the Japanese did in the camp was very wrong and unjust. By forgiving them, are you saying there shouldn't be any justice? And was there any justice in
your... There certainly was no justice in the camp. They were only interested in killing us. But justice belongs in the courtroom. Justice has nothing to do with forgiveness. Forgiveness is to do with me and my heart. Justice should remain in the courtroom.
What about after the war? Has there been any justice there?
Well, funnily enough, I was asked that question yesterday because Sunai, our camp commander, who was only interested in killing us and starving us and punishing us and torturing us for 3.5 years, and of course an awful lot of people did die, he was taken to the Singapore war tribunals and he was sentenced to death. He was actually shot by 10 Dutch soldiers. And people asked me about that. I have always been totally against the death sentence. That is what the court decided. I'm not quite sure if they had allowed him to live, that he would have been any better off, to be honest, because I think to him, capitulation was such an awful thing for the Japanese to do. So I don't know the answer to that one, what happened to Sunai. And yeah, he was shot, he was killed, and I'm sure a lot of people felt that was justice. I myself think that if he had lived, he would have probably suffered far more. But that does not mean to say I agree with the fact that he was shot.
What was your motive for forgiving? What? I don't know whether you can...
There is no motive for forgiveness.
Interesting. Okay, so what about... this is slightly hypothetical because obviously you've gone on this journey, but do you, in your own opinion, think there is any crime or thing that someone can do to somebody else or a nation do to another nation that should not be forgiven?
No. I think if you look at those stories, and they're all different stories, I think forgiveness is something that as Christians, God puts on our hearts. And when we understand that our hearts are what is our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, and in our Christian faith, we know that Jesus taught us two things, to love and to forgive. Those are the most important things he taught us. And I think to love, most of us understand that. to forgive, a lot of us really don't truly understand what forgiveness is about. But it is about our relationship with the Holy Spirit, our heart. It is a heart thing. It's not a head thing. It's not a justice thing. It is a heart thing. And I think this is why it's so difficult to understand for people.
Do you have to forgive the person or the nation that have done you wrong, or the people, group of people, in person when you do forgiveness? Do you have to say it to them, to their face, in person?
Well, in my case, of course, all the Japanese that tortured me for 3.5 years, they're dead now. So where does that leave me and my forgiveness? So the answer is...
So who did you, when you did the forgiveness, how did you in practice do it then?
Well, it was a long journey, and I honestly thought I had forgiven, and I'll give you two examples. I don't know if you remember, about 5 or 6 years ago, there was this horrendous tsunami in Japan. And I went to church, and the vicar said, next week we're going to have a collection, and I want you to be generous. And I honestly thought I had pretty well got to the stage where I had truly forgiven the Japanese people. But I can clearly remember sitting in my chair and thinking, generous to the Japanese, generous to the Japanese. And it's one of those occasions that I don't really know how to deal with this. So when I went home, I said to God, you deal with it. I don't know how to deal with this one. And I let it go. And I think part of forgiveness is when it becomes very hard and you do not know how to deal with things, and I'm sure we all understand that, hand it to God and say to him, you deal with it. And I've done this so many times, and God always does. And the following week, I went to church. I was very generous, and that was the end of the story. And the second part of this is, again, I had moved on a little bit more in my thinking of having forgiven the Japanese. And I read in my paper that this was a journalist who lived in Tokyo. So he was representing Japan to the paper I was reading. And he was asking for people who had known people who had been in the prison of war camps. My father was on the Burma Railway. He was then shipped over to Japan and worked as a slave laborer there. So, and I didn't really know, because none of us ever talked about those years, for I didn't talk about them for 60 years. And my father never talked about it. And I always understood he had been near Nagasaki. Well, this particular event was in Nagasaki. There's a group of Japanese people who do a lot of research on the people who died there, the people who were buried there or cremated. They do an extraordinary job. And they were putting up a memorial stone in this particular camp near Nagasaki. So they were asking for people who had been, family members who had worked there as slave laborers, or people who'd been in camps themselves. Well, there are not an awful lot of people left now who've been in those camps. So I emailed the paper, and I said, well, I'm a survivor of a Japanese concentration camp, but not there in Indonesia. Could I possibly come? Within an hour, I had a response. And they were delighted, because there were a lot of members of family. And interestingly enough, they were all second and third generations. There was one other person who'd been in that particular camp. So those of us who've been through that, it is our responsibility. So I went to Japan. James came with me, Joshua did, and James's brother. And I remember sitting in that plane, a very long journey, absolutely terrified, because we used to have to bow to the Japanese, we bowed to the emperor, 3.5 years long. And I had no idea what I was letting myself in for. I was genuinely frightened, because all I could remember, the screaming angry soldiers that would whip us with their whips. But when I got there, these people, who were all of them born after the war, would come up to me, not once, not twice, but throughout the day, all the week we were there, and they would bow and say, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, so very sorry for what we did to you." I'd never expected that to happen. And I can even get emotional about it now. It totally changed everything for me. I had gone to forgive them. And there they were saying how sorry they were. And they weren't talking about themselves. They were talking about another generation. And it was the most powerful thing that's happened to me.
So last question. How many times should you forgive?
Well, the Bible says 77 times. I think it's a lot more. I think the secret about forgiveness is that we must forgive not when it blows up until there is bitterness involved. We must forgive right at the beginning, time and time. And I'm sure this is what Jesus means. We must forgive all the time. Forgiveness must be part of what's in our hearts. And the more we do it, the easier it becomes.
And we are, as I said in the beginning, it is all about relationship. And even when the relationship is utterly broken, God commands us. This is not an option for us as Christians. He commands us because he knows what's best for us. And he's the one who does it, because even though great wrong might have been done to us, he knows for our hearts to be mended, we must forgive. And in the same way that he's forgiven us, so we forgive others, no matter what the crime, however hard that is. And so there's going to be an opportunity during communion, if we want to, and maybe I'll do it during a song as well, for us to be prayed for, or you can do it on your own. But if God's brought anyone to mind that you think you need to forgive for something that they've done, and quite often it isn't some far off country, it's somebody in our family is most commonly the people we need to forgive. But if there is anyone, shall we at least begin that journey today? Amen. Thank you, Mum.